Friends, brothers and sisters, so we continue to read in the book of Ruth, chapter 2 this time. In the book of Ruth, chapter 2, and Naomi had a relation of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Let me, I pray, go to the field and glean among the ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." And she went. And she came and gleaned in the fields after the reapers. And she chanced to light on an allotment of Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "Jehovah be with you." And they said to him, "Jehovah bless thee." And Boaz said to his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose maiden is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish maiden who came back with Naomi out of the fields of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." And she came and has continued from the morning until now. Her sitting in the house has been little as yet. And Boaz said to Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from here, but keep here with my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field which is being reaped, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young man not to touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go to the vessels and drink of what the young man draweth." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in thine eyes, that thou shouldst regard me, seeing I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has fully been shown to me all that thou hast done to thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come to a people that thou hast not known heretofore. Jehovah recompense thy work, and let thy reward be full from Jehovah, the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to take refuge." And she said, "Let me find favor in thine eyes, my lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken kindly to thy handmaid, though I am not like one of thy handmaidens." And Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she ate, and was sufficed, and reserved some. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young man, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and ye shall not reproach her. And ye shall also sometimes draw out for her some ears out of the handfuls, and leave them that she may glean, and rebuke her not." And she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and came into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that which she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where hast thou gleaned today, and where hast thou wrought? Blessed be he that did regard thee." And she told her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of Jehovah, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said to her, "The man is near of kin to us, one of those who have the right of our redemption." And Ruth, the Moabitess, said, He said to me also, Thou shalt keep with my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It's good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept with the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So far the reading of the scriptures. Now this is a very long chapter, but may the Lord help us to go through it and to get some lessons, as we have also asked in our prayer. I'd like to review a little bit the first chapter to give the connection also with this chapter, and also to try to get the same line of thinking we had the last time in connection with the application of this chapter. Because we have seen, we can read and study this book as a literal story which happened about between, let's say, 3,000 years ago. And that's very interesting. But we have seen also last time that it is good to read this these chapters and see what they mean for us now today. And that God, Lord Jesus, has a special spiritual meaning given to these chapters, to help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And we have asked in our prayer that the Lord Jesus himself would help us to grow. And I was reminded of that verse of 2 Peter 3, and you could really put this above chapter 2, which we have read, that Peter says, But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what the Lord has in mind for us. We hope to see this tonight, how the Lord wants to help us to grow in His grace and in the knowledge of His blessed person. But we have also seen that this book, this little book, has a prophetic application. And Lord willing, if we will still be here, we hope to meditate on that side of the truth in the last lecture, when we will think about the prophetic application, so in connection with the people of Israel and with the remnant in the future. But now, may the Lord help us to think of the practical and spiritual and moral lessons which we find here really in plenty for us. Now, we have seen the last time that this book brings us into the land of God's promise. And so you could ask now for us, what does that mean for us? And we have seen a little bit that the land of God's promise would speak of the heaven, of the heavens. The heaven where the Lord Jesus is seated now at God's right hand. And it is really essential to get, I think, to understand that all our Christian blessings are linked with the Lord Jesus who is in the glory now. When you do not get that, you cannot really enter into the Christian blessings which God would like to share with His people. And in our hymn we have mentioned that we are sons now, sons. And why did God make us to be sons? In order that we might receive these wonderful blessings, that God would have fellowship, God the Father and God the Son would have fellowship through the power of the Holy Spirit with each one of us to share these wonderful blessings, heavenly blessings, eternal blessings. We will enjoy them through the whole eternity. But it is God's desire that we would enjoy these blessings already now. The land speaks of God's counsel, what God had prepared in His heart already before the foundation of the world. God had prepared a special portion for you and me. You can read about that in Ephesians 1 verse 3, where we find, as it were, summed up in one verse what a thought is, that God has blessed us now with every or all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. That is what God has reserved for us. Now, when we have seen in the beginning of this book that the people of Israel were in that land, they were brought, it was a long journey, they were brought into the land to enjoy the blessings in the presence of God. God wanted to dwell with them, Deuteronomy 12, and God wanted to have them as worshippers, Deuteronomy 26, But then we find in the book of Judges what a situation, into what situation they came actually. Not acknowledging or recognizing the authority of God. The same God who had brought them into that portion, they forgot him. And they were thinking just, and that is the lesson we get also, just according to their own mind, what to do. God sent even a famine, as we have seen in chapter 1. But Elimelech, he didn't care. He went his own way, in self-will. Now, this is an important lesson for us, how we would follow our own ideas and self-will, and then go to the country of Moab. Moab means, what father? Instead of knowing God as our father, we would follow another father, as it were. And Moab speaks of pride, and also ease. It is not easy to maintain the position the Lord has given us, the real Christian position, independence on a man in the glory. You cannot see him. You can only see him by faith. We have no pope. We have no church leader. We have the Lord in the glory. But that brings many exercises to maintain these things and to walk in this truth, really. And we have seen Elimelech. He had a wonderful name, but he wanted to go his own way. He thought to find a blessing, but instead of blessing, he found death. And now we find God's dealings in grace. He brings Naomi back, and he brings with Naomi Ruth. And we have seen God's wonderful grace in Ruth. It speaks also of a soul who comes to the Lord Jesus, who would accept him and be drawn to him. In Ruth we find really a soul who is drawn to the Lord Jesus. And by God's grace, many of us, maybe all of us even tonight, have been drawn to the Lord Jesus. And that is step number one. But then we'll find there's much to learn. And that's what we find in chapter two. But the point I'd like to stress now, first of all, is this. In order to enter into God's blessings, we have to be like Ruth. You'll see that in chapter two also. Coming from afar, no claims, no rights, leaving the land of ease and pride behind. When we are proud, even on, about our blessings or our position before the Lord cannot help us. He cannot bless us. But when we are humble, like Ruth, he can bring us into these blessings. And we find even how God had dealings with Naomi. And at the end of the book, we see how Naomi was restored completely and blessed. But even in chapter 1, we have seen already a little bit, a glimpse of how God dealt with Naomi and restored her, brought her back. Restoration means that God brings you back the point where you were before. You remember maybe the story of Abraham, when he was brought into the land of God's promise, Genesis 12. After that, he went his own way, and he came into Egypt. There God could not bless him. But God, in his grace, brought him back to the point where he was before. And the Lord Jesus has presented that to the disciples in John 14, 15, and 16, and other passages, that this would be the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to present the Lord to the disciples, but the Lord as he is now, in a special way. It is not only the intention of the Holy Spirit to remind us of what happened in the past, but in a special way to present the Lord Jesus before us how he is now in the glory. And so when we would get profit from this chapter, I mean spiritual profit, it is good for us to realize who is this Boaz. This Boaz, he is mentioned in chapter 2, verse 1, as being a relation of Naomi's husband. So there is a family relationship between him and Naomi. And so there is a family relationship now between the Lord Jesus and us. How wonderful this is. We find it in many different places, but I was thinking especially of Hebrew chapter 2, where we find how the Lord Jesus took part in blood and flesh. There we find one of the verses which shows us that the Lord Jesus has as it were, a family relationship with us. He is the creator, on the one hand, but he partook in blood and flesh to have this special relationship with us. And that was one of the conditions to be the Redeemer. We will find that later on, Lord willing, the Goel, or the Redeemer, and also called the Revenger or Avenger. He had many different functions. He had to buy the property back of those who became poor. He had to produce a seed, as we will find in chapter 4. He had to marry the widow, and he had also the right of the Avenger to revenge the blood that had was shed. And Lord willing, we will see that later on in chapter 4. But to be a Redeemer, to be a Goel, he had to have a relationship, a family relationship. You can read that in the books of Moses, how that is worked out. It was the condition that he had a family relationship. And so, that the Lord Jesus might be our Redeemer, our Goel, and also the one with whom we will have a relationship, as we will find in chapter 3 and 4, it was necessary that he belong to the same family, as it were. That is what we find here. The Lord Jesus, as God, he cannot have the relationship as we find here. But as Son of Man, the Lord Jesus can have this special relationship. We find it in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus is now in the glory, and we are even united with him in the glory. We are not united with God. We are companions of the Son of God. But we are united in a special bond with the Son of Man in the glory. That is this relationship we find here. Now he is called a mighty man of wealth. And it is wonderful. That is one of his titles we find also in the book of Isaiah, where we find the expression El Gibor means God, man, mighty man, in one person. We cannot understand that really. Who could understand that God and man in one person? How great he is, actually. We cannot understand. But we can fall down before him. We can admire him. We can see this mighty man of wealth. All riches, all wealth is in him, united. A man, a mighty man of wealth. He is the center of God's universe. When you study the creation, you really get impressed by the vastness, the greatness of the whole universe. And he is the upholder, not only, he is the very center of this universe. But in a special way, the Lord Jesus, as the Lord of glory, is the center of God's moral universe. And we have the privilege to be linked, associated with him. How wonderful privilege this is. He is this mighty man of wealth. All things are subjected to him. You find many passages in the New Testament which explain to us the power the Lord Jesus has. Now this we find indicated, it's only a type of course, but it is an indication of what the Lord Jesus is. And it is summed up in his name. Boaz means in him is strength. One of the pillars of the temple later built by Solomon was called Boaz. The other was Jechin, and it means he will establish. Both sides belong together. But in him is all strength. And he will establish. We think of the promises that God has given. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. All God's promises are yea and amen in him. He will establish all God's promises. But in him is strength to realize that. All is in him. Now think of the Lord Jesus in resurrection, in Matthew 28. That is wonderful that you find him in resurrection. What does he say? All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That is this mighty man of wealth. How wonderful he is. And in another passage we read in Philippians 3 verse 21, we have thought of that, the conference, that he has the power to transform even our bodies, to be conformed to his body of glory. A wonderful power he has. In him is strength to do that. And even now we read in 1 Peter 4, the last verse, that all powers have been subjected under him, though it is not seen in this world, Hebrews 2. But for the eye of faith, it is a reality. We see that all things are already subjected to him. And how great he is. And Brothers and sisters, I think this is one of the keys for spiritual growth, to see the greatness of this person which is presented before us. And I think therefore the Holy Spirit wanted to present in the first verse already of this chapter Boaz, to give us an impression of the greatness of this person with whom we have to do now. That's our privilege. We do not deal with him, or he doesn't deal with us as the judge, as he will do later on. We have very sweet links with him, very sweet fellowship, as you will see in this chapter. So you see here how important a name is. Shakespeare said, "What's in a name?" But in the scriptures we find that a name is very important. The names of God, you could study the names of God, and they indicate also a relationship. And here we find this name reveals also what is in him, and indicates at the same time this relationship. We have seen that Ruth came from far. Now she is attracted to the God of Israel, to the land of God's promise. And now she is brought onto the field of this man. She doesn't know anything about him at this time. But the end will be that she has a relationship with him. And that would indicate what the work of the Holy Spirit is for us. We came from far away, and he wants to bring us into a living relationship with our Boaz, the Lord Jesus in the glory. Now to go on with verse 2, and Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me, I pray, go to the field." I'd like to follow verse by verse, and sometimes we have different subjects before us. It might be a little bit hard. Sometimes we will think on Ruth, what she does, how she grows. Sometimes we will speak about Boaz and his reapers and his field and so on. But what we find here in Ruth is a condition for growth. One of the subjects I'd like to present is spiritual growth. As we have said in our prayer and the verse I read in 2 Peter 3, that is what the Lord has in mind for us. In order to make it possible that we would have a relationship with this mighty man, we have to grow. How can he have a relationship with a baby? Of course, in a sense, there is that relationship, the same life. But how can he have fellowship? That's what I mean. Communion, if there is no real growth. And that is the objective of the Holy Spirit, and here of Boaz, to make us grow. But at the same time, we find that from our side, there has to be the desire to grow. And this desire we find in a wonderful way presented in Ruth. The attitude, the right attitude. Now, the first point we find here is she's humble. And I've mentioned that already. She was not pride. She had left Moab, the land of pride and ease. She was humble. And she was also subject, submissive. She says, "Let me, I pray." Was not acting in self-will. She wanted to listen to a mother-in-law. Do we want to listen to advice, to spiritual advice, experiences of others? It's important to grow spiritually. And then, I'd like to mention a general point. She says here, "Go to the field and glean among the ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find favor." Now you might say, the land of God's promise, that's a wonderful land that is flowing of milk and honey. You can sit down there and the fruits will come to you. Nothing to do. You have nothing to do. It's a land of God's promise, so it is plenty with fruits. Yeah. But you see, there are two aspects, and I think this is important to understand also for our spiritual growth. At the one hand, there's God's blessing. It is God's land. All the blessings there are available, but we have to do something. I read one verse in Deuteronomy 11 that makes it clear. In Deuteronomy 11 verse 12, God says, "It is a land which drinks water of the rain of heaven, a land which Jehovah thy God cares for. The eyes of Jehovah thy God are constantly upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year." Verse 12. Verse 14, he says, "I will give rain your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain." But then it says, "And thou shalt gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil. Thou shalt gather in. You see? All depends on God's blessing, God's reign, and so on. But we have to do something. We have to gather in. We have to be active in this sense. Of course, in dependence on the instructions he gives. But we have to do something. And that's one of the lessons we find here. On the one hand, God's blessings. Without God's blessings, you have nothing. But on the other hand, our responsibility to do something. What might that be? It's very simple. And not only once, we will see, we have to continue in that path. Do we read the scriptures in this attitude, in humbleness, in subjection? Do we meditate upon this blessed person? Do we take time for that? Maybe we receive some lessons from ministry, or we go to the meetings, but that's not enough. In order to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the person of the Christ, we have to let me, I pray, go to the field and glean among the ears of corn. The corn is one of the fruits of the land. So we find here, he starts right at the beginning where the harvest started, the barley harvest. And we have seen barley speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. There are many scriptures, we have no time now to elaborate on that. You can ask me if you want, where you find the barley harvest or the barley as an indication of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. There is where it starts. But as we have seen in Deuteronomy and many other passages, God wants to give us the full harvest, all the fruits of the land. And these fruits speak in different ways of the glories of the Lord Jesus. You can read about that in Deuteronomy 8, but again, I'm sorry, we cannot enter into that now. Here she starts at the basis, and there's where we have to start. We cannot get all at once. That's something what we want. Sometimes we are impressed by the greatness of these things, we want to have all at once. That is not possible. We have to do it bit by bit, so to speak. It's here a little, there a little. And so we will grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And then she says, glean among the ears of corn. This is the right place. After him in whose sight I shall find favor. There's already an indication that there's a link with this blessed person after him. She needs to be attracted to him, as we will find later on. In whose sight I shall find favor. No rights, as we have seen, no claims whatsoever. And then Naomi, who is the older believer, she can teach her, as we will find later on also in chapter 3, she can teach Ruth. And she said to her, go, my daughter. How beautiful this is when believers can help young believers. Even when you are 1 year old in the faith, you can already help another believer who just received the Lord Jesus. And by the way, that might be a real encouragement for our growth. When we get in touch with a young believer, that might encourage us to grow ourselves in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. You see, when you can help somebody who just received the Lord Jesus, it will encourage you and stimulate you to grow yourself as well. So it is really important to be occupied with others. Because when others need something, we need as well something. And we will grow, both of us. And that will establish a special link, a relationship, a practical way. Now, in verse 3, we see she went and she came and gleaned in the fields after the reapers. The reapers were special servants of Boaz. We will see that later on. And then she chanced to light on an allotment of Boaz. You find here God's providence. God knew all about Boaz. She didn't know much of God. She didn't know much of Boaz. Nothing of Boaz, actually. But God knew her needs. And that's the same for us. God knows exactly how young we are. Doesn't matter. God knows all about our needs, and he will direct our feet. When we will commit ourselves to him, he will direct us in a very simple way. It's not complicated. We make it sometimes complicated, but here we find how there is, under God's providence, this direction. It looks like chance or the word toeval. Coincidence. And in a sense, from our viewpoint, that's right. In Luke's Gospel, we find it also, when a man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, then there was a coincidence. A Levite came and so on. From our viewpoint, it's coincidence, of course. But we see, at the other hand, from God's side, it is He who overrules all. Both sides go together. Now verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Now Boaz is introduced. He came from Bethlehem. Bethlehem, the house of food. The Lord Jesus, as the glorified man in heaven, He has all the food, all the blessings with which we can be fed available. He has all in His hands. But does He now come out from Bethlehem and just give all to Ruth? Imagine we would have a storehouse full of food and there would be some poor acquaintances. Would we help them really open the door and just get out all this food? They would not be helped with that. They would be spoiled. They would not grow really in a good way. And so we find here in this chapter very wise indications also how to administer these blessings. I'm thinking of Joseph in Egypt. He had all the treasures of Egypt available, but he was administering these treasures in a very wise way. And that's what we can learn from our Lord Jesus, and what we also need to administer one to another these blessings, to do it in a wise way. He didn't start to give all these blessings all of a sudden, but the story ends with Ruth marrying this rich man. So she had all these treasures for herself available. That is, of course, the objective. That's the point where God wants to bring us. But it starts very small, as it were, because we have to do something. The Lord has all these blessings available, but He cannot share these blessings with us when there is no desire from our side, when we have not the energy to do something, then He cannot share it. So this is a very important lesson, I think. He has all available, but from our side, we have to start very humble, very lowly, and do something, spiritual energy, to enter into these blessings. That is an important lesson, I think. Now, see how beautiful this is. He said to the reapers, Jehovah be with you. It's a blessing He gives. So He wants to bless us when we do something for Him, when we work for Him. He starts to bless us. He gives us instructions, as later on you can see. But when you want to do something for the Lord Jesus, He starts to bless you. How wonderful this is. As the risen Lord. And they said to Him, Jehovah bless thee. Now you can apply it in a practical way. What about our work situation? Imagine that would be possible, that a boss would come and he would say, the Lord be with you. And we would say, the Lord bless thee. Now that would be a wonderful relationship of boss and servant and so on. Now our society is far from that. But by the way, you see how practical the scriptures are and would give help to be happy together as servant and master. In verse 5 now, we see that Boaz is speaking to a special servant he had. It said his servant, but you can also read his young man. And we find that expression many times, his young man. I think the Lord Jesus, as the risen one, would link with Himself many others, but give them the same energy He has given us, the life of His resurrection, resurrection life. And young man would indicate this new energy, this new power we have received in resurrection with the Lord Jesus. I speak now of resurrection in a moral sense, of course, because our bodies are still belonging to this present scene. But we are linked with the Lord Jesus, the risen one. You can read it in Ephesians 1 and 2, how God took us from the scene of death where we were and has raised us from that and brought us into a living relationship with Christ. So the young man, in general, speak of this new life, this new energy that God has given us in connection with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But then we find here that this servant had a special position that was set over the reapers. It might indicate the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit now would direct all laborers. Every laborer in his place or her place is under the direction of the Holy Spirit. But we could apply it also in this sense, maybe, that sometimes the Holy Spirit would use a special vessel to give lead direction and guidance. But anyway, it speaks of the Holy Spirit. And reading this passage, I was thinking of Mark 14, and also in Matthew we find it, that the Lord was speaking of a man carrying a pot of water, and then the disciples had to follow him to be brought into the upper room. And so we find many indications in the scriptures which speak of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in directing us and bringing us to the place where God wants to have us, to enjoy this fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And it's also, by the way, an important lesson for those who work for the Lord, that they would be subjected to the leading of the Holy Spirit, as we find here indicated. Then we find another point. Boaz is asking now this servant, whose maiden is this? He doesn't say, who is she? But he says, as it were, to whom does she belong? You see the difference? He doesn't only ask, who is she? But to whom does she belong? And that's an important question today also. Because there are only two possibilities. Either you belong to the prince of this world, or you belong to this Boaz, the Redeemer. There are only two possibilities. And so this is a very important question. To whom do you belong? And in Romans 8, we see that the Apostle Paul says, when somebody doesn't have the Spirit of God, he doesn't belong to Christ. To belong to Christ in the glory, Boaz, the glorified man, he has given his Spirit. And that is the proof that we belong to him. But his rights, we find, as the Redeemer, he has bought us with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, at the end, bought us with a price, with blood. And so he has a right upon us. And so, by this right, we belong to him. And the Holy Spirit makes this link living and practical. Now, verse 6, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish maiden who came back with Naomi out of the fields of Moab. Notice here, she came back. We will see that, Lord willing, in the application, the prophetical application, how important this is, that it is put this way. But he explains all to Boaz, where she came from, and by the way, is again stressed, she came from Moab. And I'd like to stress that, really, in order that we would get the benefit of all these blessings, we have to realize that we came out of Moab, that we leave the land of pride and ease behind us. We are living in a world full of pride and ease. And to enter into these blessings, we have to leave that behind us. In a very practical way. Even in a meeting, we can be very proud. I have to judge my heart several times before the Lord. We can be so proud, but then we cannot enter into these blessings. It's impossible. Verse 7, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. Now he is repeating what she had asked, and she came and has continued. Now his commentary. She has continued. She has not only started. Some people are very enthusiastic to start something for the Lord, a service or a Bible study, and after a week or 2 weeks, it's gone. There's nothing left. She has continued from the morning. That's also a beautiful indication. That would encourage us to start to read the scriptures in the morning. What we get in the morning is fresh and will give a character to the whole day, will help us spiritually, really. What we do in the morning, how we start the morning with the Lord, is really very helpful for the whole day. When we think of the Lord Jesus himself in Isaiah 50, how he started the morning, prayer, dependence upon God, how important is this question. How do we start the day? And then she, probably there was in the field a little house to rest a little bit or to drink something, but her sitting in the house has been little as yet. So it proves that she was diligent. She was really devoted to do this job. And that is also a key to grow. When the Lord gives us something, we should continue In Acts 2, verse 42, we find a wonderful verse that they persevered in the breaking of bread, in the doctrine of the apostles, the fellowship of the apostles, and in prayer. They continue. And that is a key for spiritual growth, to be devoted to the Lord, diligent, active, to go on. And then Boaz addressed himself to Ruth personally. How great it is that the Lord wants to have personal contact with you and me. The Lord in the glory, He rejected in this world, He wants to have a special link and special communications with you and me. And He acknowledges this relationship which exists. He says, "Hearest thou not, my daughter?" Of course, it was usual language at that time. But for us, there is a special touch in it. It would indicate already a special relationship, this family relationship I have mentioned in the beginning of the chapter. "Go not to glean in another field, neither go from here, but keep here with my maidens." Now I'd like to point to something that struck me really. In verse 5 we have seen this question, whose maiden is this? It's the matter of rights. To whom does she belong? Now Boaz has rights. And these rights are acknowledged. Therefore he says, in his field at least, these rights are acknowledged. "Go not to glean in another field." Apparently, there were other fields in the area of Bethlehem which did not belong to Boaz. Probably had many fields. And the reapers had started in this particular field, and tomorrow they would go to another field, and so on, and so on. But here he says, he encourages Ruth to stay in this field, and he says, "with my maidens." Later on, we find that he speaks about my reapers. And at the end, it says in verse 21, "Thou shalt keep with my young men until they have ended all my harvest." So it is really stressed, this aspect of his right. And I was referring to Mark 14, where we find that the Lord speaks about this upper room, but it is really important to see that the Lord speaks about my upper room, where I will have the Passover with my disciples. You see, the Lord who is rejected here, he is right, he has right. But the point is, do I acknowledge this right? All Christians belong to the Lord. That's a point that is without doubt. But do they all acknowledge his rights? Now, of course, there are two possibilities, two dangers, let's put it that way, in which we should not fall. The one hand is, we should not care about Boaz's rights, we should just go on our own way, we do not care about his authority. That's one danger. The other danger is, we would say, and that is a pretension we hear sometimes, and the church in the history has had these pretensions. You come here with us, and then you are in the place where the Lord's rights are acknowledged. But that is not what the scriptures say here. What the scriptures say and bring before us, that we should keep in his presence, that we should recognize his authority, but not claim that we have this. You see, that's the point I'd like to mention. In the history of the church, and in different, even in brethren groups, we have found that there are claims and pretensions. When we have the sincere desire to follow the Lord Jesus, to acknowledge his authority, the Lord will be so glad, and we will be glad as well, I'm sure. We will acknowledge his rights he has upon his laborers. We will acknowledge his rights he has upon every individual saint. But as soon as we start to claim that we are the people, we are the ones, then we go too far. Then we are wrong. That's the one extreme. And I said the other extreme is when we forget about all his rights. We do just our own will. That's the other extreme. But may the Lord help us that we may be attracted to him. It is the field of Boaz which is brought before us. His laborers, who accept and maintain his authority. Now, when we maintain that, and that is our sincere desire, then the Lord can bless us. And may the Lord help us, really, to be exercised about these things. Because the Lord, his authority is neglected in so many different ways. And when we do not accept, really, his authority, we cannot grow according to his thoughts. So this is a very important point. Do not glean in another field, neither go from here, but keep here with my maidens. The Lord will give us companions who recognize the same authority. They do not claim something. They are not speaking the whole day, we are the ones. No. They simply follow Boaz and his instructions. And they enjoy his fellowship. They enjoy and they receive his instruction. That is what we should do. Let thine eyes be on the field. Now, we are encouraged here through Ruth that our eyes will be directed on the field. Now, how rich is this field really? It is wonderful to study. And again, I would encourage the brethren to study a book like Deuteronomy, where we find so many details on the land, but also the field. The field, I would suggest, speaks in a special way of that portion of the land with which we have to do in a certain situation. Of course, Boaz has many fields, but here it is one field, one particular field. I was thinking of Psalm 23, where we find how the shepherd would lead the sheep in these rich pastures. He has many pastures available, but he is leading them in one particular field, and then maybe the next day in another field, and the next day in another field. But under his directions, we are in a particular field, in a particular portion of his blessings. We cannot receive all these blessings all at once. We cannot be occupied with all these blessings at once. It is from day to day, from different fields to different fields. And he would help us to direct us. And I think of a brother who said, I've been many times in these fields, but without his direction. Psalm 23, he leads us. So how important the lesson this is for me, for all of us, to study the scriptures under his guidance, his direction. Now he encourages her. Have I not charged the young man not to touch thee? So he protects her. That's what the Lord wants us to do too, to protect us against influences who would not be correct. When thou art athirst, he thinks of her needs. When thou art athirst. And we have seen how important this is to realize our needs. In order to grow, we have to realize our needs, to be fed. And we have seen when we do not have needs, the Lord cannot bless us. So it's really a matter of being hungry, being thirsty, in order to be blessed. In Psalm 107, the Lord says that he satisfies the longing soul. That is what we find in Ruth. And she may drink from the vessels where the young man has provided these vessels. How beautiful this is, that the Lord would even use vessels, young man, like we have seen, his servants, to help his people. Of course, he could do it himself, but he likes to use you and me in order that we would serve each other. The Lord is powerful enough, he doesn't need any one of us, but he likes to use you and me in his service to help each one. That is the way the Lord wants to go. And then in verse 10 we find this wonderful reaction. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. You see, this is her reaction. Now think of these men of old who fell down before the Lord. In Daniel 10 you find one example, how Daniel fell down when he saw the glory of the Lord. In Revelation 1 you find John, when he saw the Lord in all his glory, he fell down. That's the right attitude. You see, faced with these wonderful privileges, there's only one reaction that would fit, that we would fall before him and bow to the ground. That's the right reaction. And she said to him, why have I found favor in thine eyes? This is a question Moses asked already when he was confronted with the glory of the Lord. Why have I found favor in thine eyes? She recognized she had no rights, It's pure grace, and that's what it is. And that thou shouldst regard me, seeing I'm a foreigner. She was not only poor, but she was even a foreigner. And as we will see later on, from Moab, she had no rights whatsoever to be among the people of God and to marry there. Now Boaz answered and said to her, it has fully been shown me all that thou hast done to thy mother-in-law. So it was not only to her mother that she had been faithful, it was her mother-in-law, also a practical lesson. It's much harder for a sister to care for her mother-in-law than for her own mother, since the death of thy husband even, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother. How beautiful this is! Boaz is here speaking, as it were, the same words that God addressed to Abraham. When Abraham was called from his own land, his own country, his father's house, to go to the land of God's promise. Now, the same way, Ruth went. How beautiful this is. When we study the life of Abraham, it is so rich, and it is so helpful for us to realize God's call, and to realize God's promise, and so on. Now, Ruth has gone the same way, and that is also for us a key for spiritual growth. Verse 12, Jehovah recompensed thy work, and let thy reward be full from Jehovah, the God of Israel. So here Boaz speaks about a recompense. Now this is a study in itself. You cannot do that now, of course, but you can work that out at home. It's one of the points through which we can grow, to study these details. Recompense thy work, and let thy reward be full from Jehovah. And now a beautiful point. Under whose wings thou art come to take refuge. She came from a land, Moab, where it was a very cruel god, Chemosh, where babies were offered, sacrificed to them. Terrible things. Now she comes under the wings of the God of Israel. What a change. And we have been brought under the wings of our God, who is now our Father. These wings speak of protection. We are living in a cruel world, brothers and sisters, you know it. But we do not always realize that, how cruel this world is. But we have been brought under the protection of his wings. The wings speak also of warmth and nourishment, of many different ideas, but brought together. You can think also of the ark then at that time, with the cherubim and over the ark, over the
mercy seat,
thank you. And so literally you could apply it in that way. She had come to that place where the ark was. And thou art come to take refuge. What a wonderful refuge we find under these wings. It might also be a study in itself to see the different psalms which speak of these wings. And think of the example Lord Jesus gave in Matthew 23 to the Jews, to Israel, to Jerusalem, that he had been as this mother hen and had protected these little chickens. And they didn't want to be protected. So she had come with this desire to be under his protection. Verse 13, and she said, let me find favor in thine eyes, my Lord. Again, you see, she recognizes his authority. It's also a wonderful study. I give two examples. You find in 1 Samuel 25, I think, it is Abigail, who recognized David's authority where King Saul was still reigning. And this is what we do. We are living in the world of King Saul, so to speak. Even the Christian world, with its leaders, all Saul characters. But we recognize the only and true Lord, the Lord Jesus. My Lord. You find it in the New Testament, how there were people who could say, my Lord. In Luke 1, Elizabeth speaks of my Lord. And then later on, in the resurrection, the day of resurrection of the Lord, Mary of Magdala and Thomas, they recognize him as being my Lord. And Paul, at the end of his life in prison, he speaks still of my Lord. How wonderful this is. And she recognizes how he has comforted her. You can only find true comfort and consolation in his presence. How he speaks with grace. The Lord is not a harsh master. He speaks kindly with grace. So we should learn from him to act in the same way. Though I am not like one of thy maidens. He recognized again, she had no rights whatsoever. It's like the queen of Sheba, she had come from afar and she admired these servants that Solomon had. She had no part there, but she admired. And here Ruth, she admired his handmaidens, that which Boaz had, and she recognized that she even had not a place like that. Now, there comes a special portion. We can only say a few words on that, but here Boaz deals in a special way with her. Not only he had been speaking to her, but now he is giving himself special blessings. And I would like to mention two words on it that you may get the idea. The first part of this chapter, I would say, is take. You have to appropriate these blessings. There was a man in the New Testament who had a withered hand. He could not go to the field and glean like Ruth did. The disciples of the Lord Jesus, they went out in the field and they took from the corn and they could use their hands and they had the benefit of these blessings. But this man with the withered hand could not use this hand. So here we find how we should take, how we should appropriate these blessings. But there is another aspect, and that's what we find here in verse 14 and so on. We can also eat. That's the next step for spiritual growth. Not only take, not only be active, but also to take this time of rest with the Lord. The sheep were in the pasture. It's wonderful. The Lord wants to attract us to himself and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Vinegar would also speak, would refer to his death, I think. Even this fellowship is on the basis of his death. And she sat beside the reapers. Here is fellowship, not only with these maidens, but also with the reapers, the young men. And so we have fellowship in the one with another in different settings. And he reached her parched corn. The parched corn would speak of the blessings of the land in a special way. You find them also in Joshua 5, when the people entered into the land for the first time, and you find that they were fed with the parched corn. But it is Boaz himself who reached her this. How wonderful is this? And the parched corn, I think, would also speak of his death. Even when we are occupied with these heavenly blessings, even when we will be in heaven and receive these wonderful blessings, we will always be reminded of his death. The fire would speak of his death. Not only that he died, but also the judgment aspect, how he went through the fire. And his death is the basis to feed us. Now to go on, we find here she ate and was sufficed. She got enough. And she even left over and reserved some. She can even share now with others what she had received. How great are the provisions of our Boaz. But the point I'd like to stress is this. She ate here. So she not only took, but now she could eat. And that is an important lesson. Because eating in the scriptures speak of formation. You are what you eat. In other words, when you receive these wonderful blessings as food for your soul, you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, as he is now in the glory. When we are occupied with these wonderful blessings of the land where he is, and we eat them, we appropriate them, we will also be formed in the same way. That is what the Lord wants. We have said the Lord wants to have a bride with whom he can have fellowship. Not only a little baby in the face, he wants that we would grow. Now this is the way we grow. We eat to assimilate these wonderful blessings. And then we can become as he is, in a sense. In verse 15, when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young man. He gives now special instructions that she would receive more. As I have said, he could give the whole storehouse, but he didn't. He wanted her to go on in this way. He wanted her to be diligent. She rose up. We find that she was not lazy. She was very diligent. But Boaz, in his grace, he gave her portions which were more than she would have got through her own activities. You see, again here we find that both sides go together. What we do in dependence on the Lord will bless that. And he will give in his grace even much more than we would ever merit through our own activities. You shall also sometimes draw out for her some ears out of the handfuls and leave them that she may glean and rebuke her not. So many instructions Boaz gave in connection with Ruth. And about every instruction you could think, we could apply them in a very practical way. But you can think about it yourself and see what the Lord has to speak through these different details for your own soul. And then in verse 17, she gleaned in the field until even. Now, we have seen she started in the morning, and she went on and on until even. And then she didn't forget all about it. We find that she beat out what she had gleaned. She was really occupied with what she had gathered in. Not only gleaned, but then she has also brought it together, as it were, and prepared it to for nourishment. And it was about an ephah of barley. An ephah would indicate that it was enough for 10 days for one person, as we can find in Exodus 16. So she had been very diligent, and she had much provision. And now she brought, as we find in verse 18, she brought it into the city, and then her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And now, a beautiful expression, she brought forth and gave to her that which she had reserved. You know, the Lord wants to give you a special portion, and you can administer that for others. Here it is, she brought forth. Of course, it was all grace. She had received it from Boaz. But now she could bring it forth. Now, that is what the Lord delights in, I'm sure. When we have received a special blessing from Himself, we are able to bring it forth, as it were. You remember the story of Melchizedek? He brought forth bread and wine. It was in his own reserves, as it were. He had it available. And that is what the Lord wants, to give us these treasures to make them available for others. And then her mother-in-law, she was bitter, as we find in verse in chapter 1. She was very bitter, embittered. And now she sees how the light starts to shine in her life again. It was only death and darkness and no food and so on. But now she sees that God has really started to deal with her and start to bless her. And she makes a link that Ruth had not thought of. Ruth says in verse 19, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Now you could think about that. You know, this is a wonderful verse. Two things. Verse 19, where hast thou wrought? Speaks of the place. And the end of verse 19, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz, is the person. Both belong together. In John 1, the disciples followed John the Baptist, and then they asked the Lord Jesus. When John the Baptist had said, behold, the Lamb of God. And then they followed the Lord Jesus, and they said, where are thou staying? And the Lord said, come and see. But then they saw, really, the person, his blessed person. Place and a person are mentioned here in one verse. They both belong together. And the name is really also in itself a meditation. When you would see in Song of Songs, chapter 1 already, how the bride speaks about the name of her beloved. A wonderful name. And the value of the name is so great. You can find many scriptures about that. Try it with a concordance. Of course, with the Lord's help at the same time. And then, verse 20, and Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of Jehovah, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said to her, the man is near of kin. Now we come back to the first point of our chapter. You see, Naomi recognizes this is one of the Redeemers. He's close to us. He has the right of our redemption. And Lord Willing, will speak about that in more detail later on. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said to me also, thou shalt keep with my young man. Now again, a key for spiritual growth. Thou shalt keep with my young man. We have seen that she continued the whole day. But that was not enough. She should continue to do that until they have ended all my harvest. When will that point be reached? Of course, literally in that time, it was about 7 weeks until the Feast of Pentecost. But I would suggest for us, this indicates the return of the Lord Jesus. We have seen at the conference how important it is that His return would be placed before our hearts as a living reality with which we reckon every day. But we have to go on. The Thessalonians were in danger to fold their arms and just to wait till the coming of the Lord. But that's not right. She should continue, keep with my young man until they have ended all my harvest. They go on and they go on, and we can work also with them until the coming of the Lord. Not relax in that sense. Go on. It's good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens. Again, you see this special relationship under his authority, that they meet thee not in any other field. I think this is really worthwhile to meditate upon. How easily our feet go in a direction which is not controlled by both, our Lord in the glory. We can experience it in our life at school, in our job, in our family life, how easily we walk away, as it were, from his authority. And we have seen how in a loving way he exercises his authority. He's not a harsh master, he is a loving master, very tender and kind. But we should stay under his guidance. And so she kept with the maidens of Boaz. She's persevering, not only one day, the whole period. That's what the Lord wants to see in you and me, this perseverance that is so precious for the Lord. And that is the way, really, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of his person daily until he will come, until the end of the harvest and of the wheat harvest. Here's a touch of something else. The Lord would bring us to another point, because I think the wheat would speak more of the Lord Jesus in connection with the assembly. We have seen the Lord as the risen one in the barley harvest, but the Lord was the corn that fell down in the earth, John 12, verse 24. And then he is fruit in his resurrection. He has now, in his glory, a whole company. And I think the wheat harvest would speak in a special way of this link which we have with the glorified Lord and of the whole assembly. And so we go on until the end of the harvest. It is really a great encouragement, brothers and sisters, I think, to expect the return of the Lord Jesus. But in the meantime, to prepare ourselves for him, as we'll see in the next chapter, to be occupied with all his wondrous blessings, and we will grow automatically. Ruth was not seeing at herself. Her eyes were on the field. Her eyes was, it were, on Boaz and on all these blessings. And the Lord would encourage us to do the same, to have our eyes on the field, on him, and on these wondrous blessings. In the meantime, we will grow. May the Lord help us to do that. Amen.